This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, December 21st. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. It was a lethal weekend in the backcountry. Avid and experienced backcountry skier Jeff Schneider from Crested Butte lost his life in a large, persistent slab avalanche near the anthracites in an area locals know as Friendly Finish. Two other skiers in the area noticed his snowmobile was still in the parking area and went back up where they spotted the fresh avalanche and dug him out. According to Crested Butte News, members of Crested Butte Search and Rescue also responded to the scene Friday afternoon, but he tragically did not survive. Near Silverton, two skiers were caught in an avalanche Saturday night. They were reported overdue and in a flyover by San Juan Search and Rescue. Ski tracks and a large avalanche could be seen in the dark. Their bodies were removed yesterday from an area locally known as the Battleship, southeast of Ophir Pass. They have not yet been identified. Two earthquakes struck a rural part of western Colorado early Saturday evening near the town of Nucla. The first was a 3.3 quake on the Richter scale, and the second came 20 minutes later and was measured at 4.3. No damage was reported, according to CBS News, but some people did feel them as far away as Moab and Grand Junction. Frontline healthcare workers at Delta County Memorial Hospital got the first doses of COVID-19 vaccine in Delta County. The vaccinations started Thursday morning and will continue over the next week for 175 doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, and other medical staff who care for COVID patients. The hospital got 330 doses of the vaccine. Next in line will be frontline healthcare workers at medical clinics and ambulance services. U.S. Congressman Ken Buck of Windsor says he will not seek a second term as chair of Colorado's Republican Party. Buck won re-election to the U.S. House in November. He also caused a stir in the nation's capital over the weekend by publicly refusing to take the corona vaccine. His replacement as party chair will be chosen in the spring. Three coal-fired power plants in Colorado will not be closing down early after all. Last Wednesday, the State Air Quality Control Commission unanimously reversed a preliminary decision, reports Dennis Webb of the Grand Junction Sentinel. The commission had decided to require the Craig Station in Moffat County, the Rawhide plant in Larimer County, and El Paso County's Ray Nixon plant to close by the end of 2028 to help clear up the regional haze that impacts national parks and wilderness areas. Now, the Craig Station will close completely by the end of 2029, and the other two will shut down in 2030. The utilities said the involuntary early closures exceeded the regulators' authority and violated their rights. Conservation groups counter that the early closures would have saved Colorado utility customers $68 million while reducing pollution. Economists at the state capitol say the outlook for next year's state budget is improving, especially with the arrival of the COVID-19 vaccine. KVNF's Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Budget writers for Governor Jared Polis hope to be able to spend more than $500 million above what they were forecasting in September. That's thanks to stronger-than-expected income tax collections and distribution of the vaccine. They're still expecting to take a financial hit during the winter because of COVID-19 restrictions. Meanwhile, Colorado's economic recovery has been uneven. Economists say workers in service and hospitality jobs are not seeing their pay recover as quickly as those making more than $60,000 a year. State Senator Kerry Donovan of Vail says lawmakers should focus more on the people being left behind. The next legislative session starts on January 13th. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The island and peninsula on Lake San Cristobal outside of Lake City is now owned by Hinsdale County. A group of Lake City residents raised $200,000 to help buy the 10.3-acre property. Great Outdoors Colorado also recently awarded a $1.3 million grant to make the purchase happen. For KVNF News, Laura Palmisano speaks with Hinsdale County Commissioner Christine Birchers.
How did all of this come together?
We've spent the last several months working really closely with Trust for Public Land, and we're so fortunate to receive the GOCO grant to match those funds. We've worked with a Friends of Lake San Cristobal citizen group, the Ben Brownlee Memorial Fund, and really our community has all just sort of stepped up and chipped in for this amazing project.
What was the public aspect of this? How did that come together to raise those funds?
We have a citizen-driven group called Friends of Lake San Cristobal that has really been out there advocating for this as a project. We've had the success of having donations as big as $60,000 and as small as $20. And so it's really brought together all of us in just a really positive project.
What will this purchase mean for Hinsdale County?
The peninsula and the islands are sort of the crown jewel within Lake San Cristobal. And anyone who lives in Lake City knows that we sort of talk about the lake every day. Is the ice on the lake? How thick's the ice? What color's the water today? Is the boat dock back in? And so, you know, this sort of cements our protection and love of that Lake San Cristobal property.
What will be done with the land?
So we will be later this month at a commissioner's meeting, we'll be approving a request for qualifications and get that out to get a design team with us on board. We're really focused on making sure that any kind of infrastructure is really low impact, and we want to be good stewards of this land. So we've talked about really small improvements, a little amphitheater, new restrooms, some walking trails. We'll be doing that together with our community over the next few months.
Where did the idea of purchasing the land come from?
You know, the peninsula has been eyed by boards of county commissioners for decades. The property itself is just such a spectacular spot and location that you can't help but feel like it should be available for public use when you're standing there. So the idea has been percolating for a good 20 years.
Now it's happened. When did the plan start in the motions to actually get a GOCO grant, to get a citizens group going? How long has that effort been in place?
You know, that effort has really been over the last few months. We started having conversations in August, September, October. So really, in the grand scheme of things, it's been a very quick project. As Patrick Gardner of Trust for Public Land said last night, it's been a really smooth project, which was not what I thought. As I said at a meeting, the planets have literally aligned for us to make this happen. It's just been a really smooth project, and we've had a lot of support.
Now, with the land in possession, what will be the first steps?
Our first step will be to hire a design team to help us figure out the community vision and what we want to see. We have several grants identified for infrastructure that we'll be submitting in the March round of grants. And the new commissioner board that we will have seated in January, one of our tasks will really be to firm up policies around the use of the peninsula. We want to really make sure that we are thoughtful and methodical with how we open that property up for public use.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Special thanks to news reporter Kate Redmond and news editor Jody Peterson. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.